Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Did you all have a great Christmas? All right, good. Are you glad to be here this morning? For those of you who have been traveling and you're back, are you glad to be here this morning? All right, good. Well, if you're a guest with us, I want to say thank you for being with us today. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet, and inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, that'll be such a big help to us. If not, just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, and that, again, will be a big help to us. Hopefully you also received a bulletin, and all the rest of you grabbed a bulletin. So take out your bulletin, and let's kind of go through some of the things. This Tuesday night is our New Year's Eve party, and we're going to meet here at the church at 5 p.m. for dinner, so that we can gather and watch part of the Boise State game, or hopefully by the time 7 o'clock arrives and we get ready for group games, Boise State will be, well, I don't want to jinx anything, but hopefully our attention can be turned to playing games instead of the game, all right? And so, but pizza's going to be provided, but if you're going to come at 5 o'clock and you want pizza, you need to sign up on the sheet at the information table. And there's still some spaces out there for you to be able to do that. For the rest of the evening, bring finger foods and snacks or holiday leftovers or whatever to share for the time of games. And if you have a card table, please bring it along with you. That would also be helpful as well. Saturday, we have men's breakfast here at Cracker Barrel at 8 a.m. So yes, we're not meeting here at the church. We're taking a little break from that, and so we'll be meeting at Cracker Barrel at 8 a.m. So men, you are invited to come. If you are a guest with us and you're a man and you say, whoa, I'd like to be a part of that, we want you to come and join us for breakfast as well. And then January 12th, we have our annual soup and sandwich church family dinner, and there's a sign-up sheet also out on the information table, and so we need you to help bring some items as well as the soup and sandwiches, and so we need you to sign up to be able to do that. There is no children's church today, and so there are children's bulletins and pouches of coloring pencils at the information desk. So get one and do that during the time of the message. Also, we are looking for an adult lady who would like to help in the nursery on a regular monthly rotation, one Sunday a month. And if you're interested in that, see Andrea. She must be in the nursery today. So if you're interested in that, head right down to the nursery after church and let Andrea know that you would be interested in helping out in that particular ministry. Well, we have a birthday today, and so I'm going to ask this gentleman to come up and stand next to me. And I can do that because I'm his grandpa. So today is Gavin's birthday. And I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but I'm going to tell you he's no longer in the teens. So you figure it out, okay? All right? So let's sing happy birthday to Gavin. Happy birthday. If you visit with him after the church service, make sure that you just tell him individually, happy birthday. That'll really make his day. All right. You see, he's turning as red as his hair. That's pretty cool. I succeeded this morning. All right. Are you ready to worship? Yeah. Did you come to worship? Yes. That means more than singing. That means listening to God's word. That means praying. That means everything that we do. So let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we're just so grateful that we have this place that you provide for us to be able to come and to be able to worship. And Father, we can bring to you our hearts, we can bring to you our minds, we can bring to you our very lives to be able to offer up to you a sacrifice of praise. And Father, we want to do that, and our praise just doesn't include singing. Our praise and worship includes hearing your word, praying, giving, Father, fellowshipping with other believers. Father, that's what worship is all about. And so, Father, this morning I pray that we will truly worship. And not just in this part of the service, but even as we participate to celebrate communion and participate in that together. So, Father, we're just so blessed by you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's glad that you're all here this morning. If you'll stand with me, we'll get started. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus as we just celebrated our Savior's birth, and today we get to celebrate what he did for us on the cross by recognizing him as our Savior. So, Victory in Jesus. Here we go. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came to brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship,
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
You may be seated at this time, and we're going to sing a song called There Is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. My Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever. Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side. To be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
At this time, I'll have the ushers come and prepare for the morning's offering. And as we look to that, just before the message here, just hopefully as we sing this song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, that you just recognize and get ready to worship the Lord through his message this morning. Father, we just thank you for being here this morning again. Hope that we bless your name and all that we do today. Thank you for not only getting to celebrate the birth of your Savior again this past week, but now worshiping you through what he did on the cross for us through communion this morning. And as we give to you what we have in our tithes, our offerings, may you just use it to further your kingdom, Lord. In your name, amen.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us and no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Thank you so much, worship team. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Somebody asked me earlier in the week if I was going to preach a communion message today, and I said, sort of. And then they asked, are you going to preach a New Year's message? And I said, sort of. So today is one of those sort of messages. But we're going to get back into our series of messages before we, in February, begin our study in the book of Joshua on praising our way through the Psalms. And I want to share with you how God works, because, you know, sometimes just when I think I have God figured out, he does something that completely blows me away. And I don't know if you have that same experience or not, but sometimes it's really cool to be able to realize that. And so, as I was looking at a lot of the Psalms, and I was reading through the book of Psalms, and I was reading Psalms that talked about praise and talked about prayer and talked about this topic and talked about that topic, and I wrote a whole list of ones that I wanted to be able to hopefully dig a little deeper into and maybe see if they would fit into our series of praising through the Psalms. And some I kept, some I tossed. Some I set off to the side to be able to look again. And as I started to narrow it down, I began to put dates next to them as to when I wanted to really study that and to really maybe bring that out in a sermon on a Sunday morning during our time in this particular series. So I came to Psalm 32. And Psalm 32 doesn't really talk about prayer. And it doesn't really talk about praise, but it talks about forgiveness. And more importantly, God's forgiveness. Not necessarily our forgiving of one another, but God's forgiveness towards us. And I thought, you know, I like that. And so I put it down for this very Sunday because I thought, well, this should fit. We'll be done with Christmas. We'll be done with the Christmas messages. We'll be headed into a new year. I could probably fit that in. We'll be doing communion. I could probably fit that in. So now you get the reason why it's a kind of sort of, right? Sort of new year, sort of communion, sort of still fits in to our series in praising our way through the Psalms. And then this week, I was reading an interview with a pastor named Erwin Lutzer. Now, I've met Erwin Lutzer on a couple different occasions. And if you don't know who he is the pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. And the reason why he's the pastor emeritus is because he was there for a long, long time as the pastor. And maybe you've caught him on the radio, maybe you've heard him, or maybe you've read his books. He's written lots and lots of books. And he's just a really well-respected biblical scholar and preacher. So he wrote a new book. And so the interview was about this new book that he had written. And so I was reading this interview. And the reason he said that he wrote this book as the interviewer was asking him questions was the fact that in evangelical churches today, he feels that there is not any emphasis on forgiveness and sin. That those two things are just kind of left out in the shadows. They're just kind of, they've just been removed from the preaching and teaching of evangelical churches, not liberal churches, but evangelical. Now, you might be sitting here and you might be going, so Pastor, what's an evangelical church? Well, it would be one that we would consider to be one who teaches and preaches and holds to the Word of God. But if they're an evangelistic church, they're an evangelical church, and they're not preaching forgiveness, and they're not preaching sin, they're not holding to the Word of God. Because the Word of God talks about forgiveness, and it talks about sin, and that's the reason why we have God's forgiveness, is because we, what? Have sin. And so a lot of times that's left out. And as I was reading this interview, I wanted to pick up the phone and call Pastor Lutzer and say, whoa, Lake Hazel Bible Church, we still do that. Because I'm going to be doing it this Sunday, but I was afraid he'd tune in and listen to the sermon and critique it. And I didn't want to have that pressure this morning of having this well-known preacher be able to do that. So this morning, we're going to talk about forgiveness, God's forgiveness, because we sin. And when we sin, what do we need to do? How do we handle that? So I want to start by asking you some questions this morning. And I don't want you to hurry through these questions. I'm not going to hurry through them. I'm going to let them soak and let you soak and think about them for a moment. Are you tied to some sins that have become a comfortable habit this morning? Before you answer, don't answer too quickly. Are you sighing under the guilt of things you did several years ago? What do you do when you realize that you've messed up? How do you bring stability to your life when you experience more ups and downs than the stock market? Where do you go when you know you failed? And as we will see in God's Word this morning, especially here in Psalm 32, we need to go to God's forgiveness. Let me say that again. We need to go to God's forgiveness. Before we look at Psalm 32 this morning, I just want to talk about a few things that the guilt of sin does to us. Because if we have what I call uncared for sin hanging around in our lives, it produces guilt. It brings guilt. There's guilt. And so I want us to start by talking about some things that guilt from sin does to us. Here's the first thing. Our confidence is destroyed by guilt. Guilt will make us feel insecure because we're always worried that someone's going to find out what we're really like or what we've really done. I can't imagine believers, especially, living under this fear. I just can't imagine it when we have God's forgiveness, that all we have to do is go to him and agree, as we're going to talk about a little bit later here in our message. All we have to do is agree that sin has come into our life, and the Bible tells us he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't have to be insecure. We don't have to be worried that someone's going to find out, because we can go to God and enjoy his forgiveness. Many years ago, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of the Sherlock Holmes novels, which, by the way, I love Sherlock Holmes novels, played a prank on five of the most prominent men in England. He sent an anonymous note to each one that simply said this: all is found out. Flee at once. And within 24 hours, all five of those men had left the country. Wow. Is your confidence destroyed by guilt today? Here's the second thing. Our relationships are damaged by guilt. When we live with uncared for sin, we can respond to people in the wrong way. Are you impatient with others? Do you find yourself reacting in anger? Are you pulling back from those you love? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, there may be some guilt in your heart and in your life. And then we can be stuck in the past by guilt. We can be stuck in the past by guilt. Guilt keeps us in a prison that God does not desire for us to remain in. Let me say that again. Guilt keeps us in a prison that God does not intend for us to remain in. So do you continuously replay your sins over and over and over in your mind? Someone once said, guilt cannot change the past, just like worry cannot change the future. But guilt can make you miserable today. I like that. Have you ever noticed how your stomach keeps score when you keep chewing on your uncared for sins? What's the remedy for that? More Pepto-Bismol? Nope. We need to go to God's forgiveness. The ancient theologian Augustine wanted to be reminded of his sinfulness and God's gracious forgiveness. So he had Psalm 32 engraved on his bedroom wall as he lay dying in his bed. He read it all the time. And when he was too sick to read, he instructed others to recite it for him. Hopefully by now you've found Psalm 32 in your Bible. And before we get into the verses of Psalm 32, let me just give you some background. David is the author of Psalm 32. While he was a king of Israel and he walked with God for much of his life, we know that he sinned. We know that he committed adultery and murder, among other things. And when David speaks, he does so as a sinner who's been forgiven. Whichever sin that David is referring to here in Psalm 32 is not important, because there were plenty for them to choose from. But he wrote this psalm to help us know that we can be fully restored and completely forgiven by God, no matter what we have done. We can be fully restored and completely forgiven by God, no matter what we have done. This psalm, Psalm 32, by the way, is one of the seven psalms of forgiveness, which includes Psalm 6, 32, 38, 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. Psalm 32 has also been referred as one of Paul's psalms because it is quoted so much in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, to help establish that we are declared righteous Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So the main point of our message this morning is this: we must understand and embrace our need for God's forgiveness. We must understand and embrace our need for God's forgiveness. Why? Let me tell you some reasons why. Here's the first one. Forgiveness can bring happiness. Look at verses 1 and 2. David writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man or person against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Notice that the very first word of Psalm 32 is blessed. And this word in the Hebrew has a rich meaning that cannot be defined with just one word. It could mean how happy, or congratulations to, or good for the one who, or oh, the blisses. Also, this word is in the plural. So it could read this way: all the multiple happinesses, the bundles of blessings to the one whose transgressions or sins are forgiven, whose sins are what? Covered. Psalm 32 says, we are blessed. We are blessed. Wait a minute, Pastor. I'm a sinner. Yep. But you can be blessed, as long as you are making sure that those uncared for sins aren't piling up and that you are agreeing with God when you know that you've sinned, that sin has come into your life and you've received from him his forgiveness because of him being just and faithful to forgive us of our sin. It is so much better to avoid sin and experiences the blessings that come from making the right choices. Now, how do we do that? Can I tell you how to do this? I'm going to give you a formula. Stay away from it. You already know. If you've been studying your Bible, if you've been reading your Bible, if you've been listening to sermons for a good part of your life, you already know. You know what sin is. You know what's good. You know what God expects. You know what honors God. You know what dishonors God. You know that. I don't have to give you a whole list of sins this morning. And I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to tell you, if you know that it's sin, stay away from it. You know, I don't know how many of you came from the east to church this morning down Lake Hazel Road. But if you came from the east from, let's say, 5 Mile or even farther down from Cole or Maple Grove, and you were coming east, you drove right past this low spot just on the other side of the street from where the subdivision is. And because that spot was low and because we've had a lot of rain, there's Lake Hazel right there, right? Okay. If you've always wondered where's Lake Hazel, when it rains a lot, you'll see it. It shows up. Either it shows up there or it shows up in our parking lot out here by the mailbox. Okay. The other day, Becky and I were up here and we had Lake Hazel in our parking lot. Okay. All right. Now, let's just say that you were walking and you came to that water puddle and you thought, well, that's pretty cool. I've never, in Idaho, it's very rare for us to see that much water located in one place, right? Especially on the street. This is amazing. And you're standing there and you're inching closer and you're inching closer because you want to see how deep it really is. You want to see how bad the water level really is. And all of a sudden, some teenager coming down in a truck drives right through that puddle. And that puddle, what? That water in that puddle does what? Splash up on you. Now, did you intend for that to happen? Of course not. You wanted to what? Look at the Lake Hazel on the street. You wanted to see. You wanted to enjoy. But what? It splashed up on you. That's what sin does. The closer we get to sin, the more it's going to splash up on us. But guess what? The farther away from it we get, guess what? It's not going to splash up on us. We can stay away from it. We can avoid it. We can keep that from happening. So when you know that Satan is tempting you, when you know that you have a choice to make to either sin or not to sin, stay away from it. Get as far away from it as you can. You know, the Bible says, flee the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Resist him. Don't give in to him. You don't. Romans chapter 6 tells us we don't have to fall into sin. We don't have to do that. It's so much better to avoid sin and experience the blessings that come from making the right choices. But when it splashes up on us because we got too close, because of our own poor choices, we can still be called blessed when we receive God's forgiveness. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? I am. And this word forgiven in the Hebrew means to lift a heavy burden and carry it away. To lift a heavy burden and carry it away. God takes our sins and he lifts them and he carries them away. When we what? Take the time to recognize that sin has come into our life and we agree with him so that we can receive that forgiveness. Our sins are taken away. Instead of trying to drag our sins along with us, we need to let God lift them from us. And the word covered is referring to something that is concealed. You know, church family dinners, you know, I love to stand there in the doorway and watch as the ladies are taking the lids off of the dishes as they put them on the table, because I want to see what's in there, right? So that I can already begin to put my plan together. Okay, I'm going to have some of that. I'm going to have some of that. If there's still any left, I want some of that, right? Okay? So the word covered is referring to something that is concealed. Whatever is sin to God, when we take care of that sin that's come into our life, it's put out of sight. The truth is that our sins are so covered. Get this, our sins are so covered by God's forgiveness that they will never appear before God again. Let me say that again. Our sins are so covered that they will never appear before God again. Where do I get that? Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Now, the word in your translation there might say transgressions, but transgressions and sin is the same word. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 says, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Our sins are so covered by God's forgiveness that they will never appear before God again. So if God doesn't keep a record of them, why should you? If God doesn't carry them along with him, why should you? Once you agree with God that sin has come into your life, let it go. Let it go. Let him have it. Why? Because it's been covered by his forgiveness. We must understand and embrace our need for God's forgiveness. Why? Here's the second point. Because sin brings a sense of heaviness. Look at verses 3 through 5. For when I kept silent, David says, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. The word Selah means pause. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Look again at verse 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. What's David saying here? David is reflecting upon those times when he tried to keep quiet about his sins, when he tried to ignore his sin, and his bones felt like they were decaying. We could put it this way. We are only as sick as our secrets. We are only as sick as our secrets. When you hide your sins, you will be miserable. And when you share that secret with God, you'll feel better. How can I tell you that? Because I live that. And the secret that you most want to conceal is the one you most need to reveal. These verses tell us that when we do not take care of our sin, we can experience emotional and physical distress. Anger and bitterness can come because of uncared sin and will affect you. Ulcers, high blood pressure, migraine headaches, and lower back pain can come from concealing our sins. And when David could find no relief in any other way, this is what he said: I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What is David doing here? He's agreeing with God about his sin. And notice that David takes personal responsibility for his sin. How do we know that? With the use of personal pronouns. He says, my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions. He doesn't put the blame on anybody else. He doesn't put the blame on his environment. He doesn't put the blame on his upbringing. He doesn't put the blame on the fact that he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. He takes personal responsibility for his own sin. What a lesson that is for us. David doesn't deny, minimize, or blame someone else. David simply calls his sin, sin. Notice he doesn't say it's an error or a mistake or a lapse in judgment. And David doesn't argue about what the meaning of is. Now, this may sound blunt to you, but it is much better to call sin what it is. Why? Because there's a solution for sin. It's called God's forgiveness. And here's the beautiful thing. We don't have to beg God to forgive us, because he wants to forgive more than we want to be forgiven. We don't have to bargain with him. We don't have to bribe him by promising to do a bunch of good things. And we don't have to do penance, set aside for us by the church for the bad things that we've done. We just need to agree with him that sin has come into our lives. We must understand and embrace our need for God's forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness comes with God's help. After talking about happiness and heaviness in verses 6 through 11, David brings our attention to the help of God. Look at verses 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. David urges those who are godly to pray. Now, this doesn't mean those who are perfect, but I think it does mean those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. It's not someone who's holy, but it refers to the person who belongs to a holy God because of their belief in Jesus as Savior. There's a sense of urgency attached to this call of prayer. And when we seek him, he will protect us. Maybe even sometimes protect us from our own selves, because we are stubborn and we don't want to what? Take care of our uncared for sins. God will keep us from trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance, David says. David says he's our hiding place. It's interesting, if you've noticed this, that in the beginning of this psalm, David is hiding his sins from God. And now he's hiding himself in God. Wow, what an example that is for us to be able to follow. Whenever we agree with God about our sin and receive his forgiveness, we'll want to seek shelter from God. God promises to instruct us and to teach us in the way that we should go. The blessing of his protection is wonderful, but it would be incomplete if it were not accompanied by his direction. Look at verses 8 through 10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. God promises to instruct us and to teach us in the way that we should go. His blessing of protection is great, but it would be incomplete if it were not accompanied by his direction. We're not to become stubborn and stupid when it comes to following God and to follow his word. You know, a horse and a mule, right? If you don't have a bit and reins tied to them, they're not going to go where you want them to go. They're going to go where they want to go. And even sometimes if you have a bit and a bridle in their mouths, they still want to what? Go where they want to go and do what they want to do. I've been on horses like that. It's no fun. But I've also been on horses that, you know what? When you move the reins, when you move the bit, they go where you want them to go. How much more pleasant of an experience is that? We can either, when it comes to our sin, we can either fight God or we can go in the direction as God forgives us that he wants us to be able to go in. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a great picture? So this morning, if you've been fighting God, stop. If you've been wanting to go your own way because you are more comfortable in your sin than you would be having God forgive you of your sin, stop. Do and be what it is that God's word is telling us this morning. Because by nature, some of us are unwilling to obey. We're just stubborn. But when we stay close to God by having a spirit of surrender and submission, and when we know God's forgiveness, look at what he says in verse 11. We can break out into joy. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. God's forgiveness is something that we need to praise him for. When we know that our sins are forgiven, we can't help but break out into heartfelt expressions of joy. If you've come this morning and there isn't much joy in your life today, and maybe because you're carrying around the burden of guilt because of your uncared for sin, guilt may be strangling the joy that God wants you to be able to have. Agree with God. Agree with God about your sin of the past and the present. Receive his forgiveness and get rid of the load of guilt. And as we're about ready to enter into 2025, let us understand and embrace our need for God's forgiveness. Now let's change gears a little bit and let's prepare ourselves for the celebration of communion this morning. We can have God's forgiveness of sin, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because he went to the cross on our behalf. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin or the iniquity of us all. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 17. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 17, for if because of one man's sin, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace. How do we do that? Believing in him as Savior. And the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus' body was broken. That's what the bread represents this morning. And his blood was shed. That's what the cup represents this morning. And it was broken. And his blood was shed because of our sin. Keep that in mind as we participate together this morning in the celebration of communion. And if you are a guest with us this morning, let me just remind you that in order to celebrate communion with us, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to know Jesus as Savior. You just have to believe in him as Savior. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Stood an old for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Let us remember Jesus.
In the old rugged cross, stained with wood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old exchange it someday for a crown. Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you.
Let us remember Jesus.
As we close, will you stand with me? And we'll just sing the chorus twice. The family of God. Aren't you glad you're part of that family today?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.